Hey, what's up? It's Tanya Milevich from Lightning Bolt Theater of the Mind. You're listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Well, hello there. It's the Audio Drama Production Podcast. My name is Matthew. I'm joined by my acquaintance, Robert.
Yes, that's me.
So, Robert, it's become cool in this day and age to memorise and reminisce about things from your childhood. Have you ever seen those posts online where it's like, anyone remember this? And it's maybe something from the early 90s. And of course, people who were kids in the early 90s do remember it, and that's now fashionable.
And as a result, they have had an awesome childhood, not because of any bonding experiences with friends or family, but because they remember the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, so this is really obscure, by the way. If you're a new listener, we are a podcast about creating audio drama.
Yeah.
But the reason we're gabbing on like this is because two guys who were on the TV in the UK when we were youngsters, Trev and Simon, are now audio dramatists. They're involved in a show called Strangeness in Space. And another person who's involved in this show, a big fish in the audio drama world, Claire Eden of Minister of Chance fame. And it's Claire who's on the show today. So Trev and Simon, Robert, do you have many memories of them on the telly on a Saturday morning?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was never lost on me that their antics, which were overly camp and whatnot, it wasn't the real them. So I've always been delighted to see them on TV later on in life and being themselves and still being quite witty with it. And I'm delighted to see them back in action nowadays as well.
Yeah, who would have known that when we were kids and when they were on the TV that now we'd be four men just doing audio drama together, even though we've never done audio drama together, but you know, we're on the internet.
Yeah, it's funny how we're somehow indirectly linked to them now. Trevor and Simon from TV, Swing Your Pants, that was their catchphrase on one of their regular sketches, wasn't it? Like, Swing Your Pants, Music Corner. I think I'm remembering that right.
So yeah, I was fortunate enough to catch up with Claire recently, really enjoyed our chat, and you know, we covered a fair amount of subjects to do with audio drama, from writing comedy to how they sort of funded the project as well. So really interesting stuff, and this is coming at it, you know, from a perspective. These are guys who are really serious about what they do and have a real business model and things like that. So I'm sure you'll find it really, really interesting. I certainly enjoyed talking to her.
Okie dokie, time to have a listen then. And please do, because it is an excellent interview, very relevant, topical. I'm sure you'll get plenty from it.
So a big welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast to Claire Eden of Minister of Chance and Strangeness in Space fame. Welcome to the show, Claire.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Matthew.
You know, I'm going to pull the curtain back here. I nearly had to cancel the interview for the most rock and roll of reasons. My pet rabbit went in for an operation yesterday and she's been chewing the scar on her back, and I thought I was going to have to take her into the vets this morning. But I managed to get an appointment for this evening, so that meant that we could still do the show. So as much as Lucy, the rabbit, tried to spoil the interview, she was defeated, as usual.
Well, I hope she's okay.
She has the last laugh with a £300 vet bill, so
yes.
I can't gloat too much. But I digress. It's great to have you on, Claire. Obviously, you know, you are involved with Minister of Chance, which is one of the most famous and popular audio dramas online. But it was your new show that caught my ear recently, Strangeness in Space, with Trev and Simon. And you've probably heard this hundreds of times, but it caught my eye hearing their name, because I hadn't heard of them or from them since the 90s when I was a kid sitting in the morning eating my cereal and watching them on TV. American listeners might not know what I'm on about here, but they're two TV personalities and big in the 90s on Saturday morning television. So can you tell me a bit about, you know, how this show came about and what your involvement is with it?
Well, I can understand why you've not thought, you know, they've not been forefront in your mind since then? I mean, they've done a few things, like, you know, they were on Celebrity Pointless last year, which they won, which is one of their proudest professional moments. But they've mostly been writing, and they've been writing, I mean, they have been writing adult stuff, adult comedy, adult drama, but they've also been writing a lot for children's television, for things like CBeebies or CITV, or they've just finished a job with Disney, which will be going out in, I think, South Africa fairly soon, I would imagine, towards the end of the year. So a lot of those things you probably haven't watched, and even if you had, you might not have noticed their name on the writing credits, but that's what they've been doing. So how this came about was that I was at university with Trev and Simon, and indeed with Sophie Aldred, who plays Ace in Doctor Who, and that's probably how most of your American listeners will know of her from all the Big Finish stuff. They may listen to the Doctor Who adventures with her in Big Finish. And I just thought it would make sense to have them performing again something that they'd written for themselves to be in. So I flagged the idea to them, and they came back saying, you know, a few different scenarios. And the one that grabbed us all was to have Trev, Simon and Sophie as characters in space. And so we've come up with a family orientated program. It's something we intended to be really funny. If you were listening on your own as an adult, if you were listening on your own as a child, or if you were listening together as a family in the car or, you know, bedtime or something, which is the beauty of their performances on Saturday morning television is, you know, you are significantly younger than us and you watched it as a child. And at the time, it was clear that lots of people's parents were popping by when Trev and Simon were on. So there's as many parents of those children who found them funny as well. And that's what we've tried to capture in this. So it's aimed at being anyone of an audience 8 to 80 to be able to enjoy, whether they're watching it with younger people or whether they're watching it on their own. And in fact, the people of your age group who are now adults and parents have been merrily listening on, you know, on the train commuting or going for a walk with a dog or whatever, and having a great laugh at it. It totally captures that spirit of those Saturday morning shows.
Yeah, absolutely does. I think if I could get your permission at the end to put the shoe song on, I'd really like to do that, because
absolutely.
When I listened, I was at my work and I was listening to it, and honestly, that I think I tweeted you, but the song was in my head for like 3 days.
I know, and, it's annoying, isn't it? I don't know whether to apologise or applaud. It's best and most beautiful of things that you can sometimes capture with a song, which is that you cannot stop singing it, but you do end up laughing at yourself for doing so, because it is nonsense. It really is nonsense. But if you want to play it, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, after we've done this interview, I can sort out getting you a clean copy that you could broadcast, because we did get one ready for that, but we guessed people would be asking. But I can give you one of those so you can play that if you like.
Thank you very much. It did remind me a lot of the show that you used to do, because I'm sure they used to do songs like that as well. It was a long time ago now, but and I was quite young, but I'm sure they did some of these funny wee tunes on the show. Why did you choose the audio medium then? Why did you choose an audio drama for this show, and how did you actually go about selling it to them?
It was a straightforward and obvious choice for me, because I had just worked on The Minister of Chance, and that had been crowdfunded through, originally we had gone through some of the sort of more recognised platforms, but latterly in the series, we got up to, we made a full season of 6 parts, but the latter parts were crowdfunded through our own website. And it's a way of being able to control the making of something, to have an idea and think, I'd really like to make this script. I'd like to invite other people to be in it, and I'd like to get it out to an audience if they're interested in having it. And if you do audio and through Kickstarter, you can get that moving fairly quickly. If you do any other kind of normal conventional commissioning process, I could have gotten to come up with an idea, and we could have spent the rest of this year and probably next waiting to see if it went through all the various rounds of bureaucracy that, you know, necessarily happen in the commissioning process. Well, I say necessarily, I'm sure there are probably ways of doing it quicker if everyone really concentrated on it. But it's a very slow and laborious process. And then, even if you are commissioned, the chances are that you will have a lot of people with fingers in the pie suggesting this or suggesting that. And it just seemed a really good way of them making something that appealed to them. I mean, these are the thing with Trev and Simon is that the words nonsense or daft, I mean, it's just bonkers, and all of those things come up, but it's actually incredibly sophisticatedly crafted. I mean, it's a proper audio drama with a beginning, a middle, and an end. And the time they spend on the script is quite phenomenal. I mean, they do, you know, they do hone it down, and there's nothing in there that just happened by accident. And so it has this feel of it being bonkers and mayhem and madcap, but it's actually seriously put together so that everyone can enjoy that bit that's still buried in all of us, where you just enjoy laughing at something because it is funny and nonsense, and not because, you know, it's got swearing words in it, or it's, you know, making fun of someone else. It's just good old fashioned family humour, but it's something that, you know, I would challenge any of your listeners to listen to and not laugh out loud at least one moment. Now, there may all be different moments, but I don't think any of your listeners will get through without laughing out loud at something.
Absolutely. I certainly was when I was listening to it right from, you know, quite early. And I think when Sophie asked them how are, I can't remember the term she used, but it was like, how are the favourite 80s synth pop duo from, where's it they're from again? Somewhere near Thurrock. London. Thurrock, yeah.
Number one pop synth band.
So I was laughing from that point on. And I think that's important in audio drama as well, or certainly in comedy and audio drama, that you do need something fairly early in the show to make someone laugh out loud, just to win them over and keep them there. Because comedy, it's a very, very difficult thing to write, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's, you know, I mean, perform as well. I mean, comedy is rarely given quite as much respect as it probably deserves. It's very, very difficult to make people laugh, whether you're writing or whether you're performing. I mean, I find them naturally very funny. I mean, I've been their manager for the last couple of years as well. I was an agent years ago, and actually when I was an agent, I did look after them for a while. But then I stopped agenting and they went elsewhere, but we stayed friends, having been at uni together. And I, you know, I've thoroughly enjoyed managing them over the last couple of years. I find them hilarious in real life, and I love what they write. I think it's very clever and very multi-layered. So for me, it was obvious that, you know, an opportunity to actually get them doing something back where I feel belong. From Sophie's point of view, she loves doing audio work, and it was a great chance to work with them. She knew that they would come up with something good. And indeed, when we first looked at the first draft of script that they gave to us, we knew we had to make it. And we knew that audio was probably the best way to go. Trev and Simon will probably say some version of audio is good because it gives them their hair back, because, you know, it's timeless in that sense. And in fact, they refer to that very openly in the audio drama. I mean, they step in and out of the world of pretense of it being fictional. And that's what I also like about it. It's quite complex the way it's constructed. But they do make a laugh, a joke about that. And Lee Sullivan, who is a brilliant comic artist, very kindly did our graphics for us. He made our logo, and it's a picture of Trev, Simon and Sophie, and they have got their hair back. I mean, they look like, you know, 80s pop synth band, and they're both very pleased with the hair that they have in this picture, which they may not have quite so much of in real life.
It's funny you should mention that. This is a wee bit off topic, but recently I listened to a podcast interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger, of all people, and just hearing him talking, I was visualising, you know, the Arnold of the late 80s, early 90s, when in fact I think he's about 70, and he doesn't look so great anymore. But it's that timelessness of audio,
well,
isn't it?
Voices don't age, do they? So it's wonderful being able to do it that way.
And you mentioned the Kickstarter earlier. What was the actual figure that you were looking for in the beginning, and did you actually meet that figure?
Well, initially we had hoped that we could hit, well, our first target we surpassed in a couple of weeks, and so we then sort of pushed it to going, if we could get to 20,000, we could probably get both episodes properly going and launched. And I don't just mean paying to record them and do the sound effects. It's all the stuff that goes with it. If you really want to have longevity, you do need to put some money into, if I say publicity, I don't mean thousands on billboards and stuff, but even, you know, even if you were to pay to go to a convention to hand cards out to people, it costs money to get the train fare there and the hotel bill, stay overnight, to do the Saturday and Sunday and all of those sorts of things. Is that there's, you know, the website and the hosting for the podcast and all of those things add up. And of course, also, if you're doing something like Kickstarter, whatever you raise also has the costs involved. So if you've sold a lot of t-shirts, you have to bear in mind that anything you've sold on a t-shirt, there's the cost of making the t-shirt as well. And there's the cost of posting it and getting it off to them. Forget about the time of, you know, the actual man hours involved in any of it. If you just look at the logistics of what you've created, you know, buying the badges or buying the photos that you then sign. And we got to, having passed the target we set for the first episode, we got to about 19,000 officially on Kickstarter, which meant we were able to start recording episode two. When, I don't know if you're familiar with the way that it works, but you do get dropout quite commonly on Kickstarter. And unfortunately, we had, you know, just even just with two associate producer levels at £300, there were five people that went for it, and it was a limited perk. But really sadly, two of them just didn't materialize when it came to actually confirming the money at the end, which meant we were down 600 just with those two. There was probably another grand dropout here, there and everywhere. People quite like to put their name down against it and then, you know, put on Facebook and Twitter that they're supporting something, and then maybe they don't quite have the funds when it comes to it, or their credit cards run out and they don't notice or whatever. And then, of course, with Kickstarter, you pay fees. So we lost about £1,500 just on the fees. And that's something anyone thinking about crowdfunding, you have to bear all of those things in mind. It looks like you're making a lot of money, but by the time you've taken off the material costs for the stuff that you're providing with the perks, you know, we have a party. There's a few people who are coming to a very exclusive party to do a meet and greet. But they will come and they will need refreshments, they will need some food and they will need some alcohol. So whatever, you know, we may have got for that, we then have to get me, Trev, Simon, Sophie and any other actors there, refund their travel expenses. You know, not everyone lives in London, so some of those are quite expensive. Is if you actually, as a producer, look at your budget, it gets eaten away quite quickly. And if you are doing it through a platform that takes a percentage commission on it, it's hefty. It's a hefty loss, and you have to make sure that's part of your budget. Now, fortunately, I knew this from a previous project, so we've been on target, and we're very slightly short of being able to finish episode two at the moment. We've recorded it, and we've got some sound effects and some music that still needs to be commissioned and popped onto it. But if we can get that last little bit, then we'll be releasing episode two fairly soon as well.
So are these episodes, like, is it a Kickstarter or a crowdfunding project per episode then? Or have you set a certain amount for a certain amount of episodes?
No, we've so far only planned to do the first two. And then we'll decide where to go from there. Until we've released episode two and we've worked out how much of a market there is for it, we'll decide where we go from there, and I'm hoping we're going to make more. They've certainly started thinking about episode three, but this is horrendously time consuming, so you have to bear in mind that we have to, if you know, with anybody thinking about doing this, there's a limit to how long you can work long hours for free if you've got to buy food and pay for a mortgage and all of those things. So you've got to balance through being able to make a project work, but knowing that you're not going to be able to pay yourself for the hours that you actually do. And that's fairly complex. I mean, with any people working in this industry, if you really were to be paid for the hours that you put in, you wouldn't be able to afford to make anything. You know, the creative world is a, it's tricky on that level. But, you know, if you think of the amount of work you spend even on promoting it and, you know, going onto Twitter or Facebook and trying to think up interesting ways of engaging people and getting them to come on board and hear about it, you know, you could work full time very, very easily, and you would be paying yourself maybe for the odd day if you're lucky. A lot of it's done for free.
So did you choose like the crowdfunding model because you didn't really see any other valid ways of making the money that was needed through, you know, other potential income streams like advertising or sponsorship or things like that?
Well, we were making something new and in a market, I mean, you do this week in, week out. This is still the poor relation of all the creative arts, which I find very frustrating, because actually the skill that goes into making good audio drama of any description, whether you're talking, you know, talking books or full-scale drama or comedy, is a real skill. It's not just only recording the sound. You're creating soundscapes. I mean, you know, the guy that's been working with us is a magician. I mean, there's not a single sound in there from a library. It's all stuff he thought, I'm thinking what that sound needs to be like, and he's gone off and created it himself somewhere. And so when you listen to it, it's soundscape. It's having a little film in your head. It's not just putting somebody in front of a microphone and thinking, well, there aren't any pictures, we'll just have the sound. I mean, you make the pictures through the sound effects and the music and the way you put the dialogue together. And so until you've got a product, it's hard for people even to really know what it is that you're planning on making. Once you've made it, you hopefully can move forward into sponsorship and advertising, because you've got a product and you can say, look, you know, this is how well it's doing, this is its fan base, and then people are interested in supporting it. But when you're thinking of making something from scratch, it will take a hell of an investor to have the imagination to know where you were going to go with it. And I think also crowdfunding is a great way for letting the fans be the commissioners. Is, you know, it's not that we have no commissioners at all. We have commissioners, and they're people who've decided whether they do or don't like the idea of the product and whether they do or don't want to buy a signed picture that goes along with it. And you know pretty quickly if people want it. So, you know, from our point of view, the fact that we hit the episode one funding within 2 weeks of the whole campaign was fantastic. I mean, people just went bonkers for it. And you think, you know, there was a lot of love for Trev and Simon in particular, saying, you know, can't wait to have them back. And, you know, once you put Sophie in the mix as well, we had Dean McKeegan as well, who is just the most brilliant comic actress. I mean, actually, she's an excellent actress, full stop, but people probably know her best for her comedy, and she's been BAFTA nominated and Comedy Awards nominated many times for various performances. And she, I mean, she's just brilliant to work with, and she's playing our narrator, Bounty Flightingale. But, you know, it takes a while to get something like that together. The cast are all paid, but they're paid a pittance compared to their normal rates. But they looked at the scripts and wanted to see it made. Where it will go from there, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. It's, as you'll know from all the people that you work with, it's audio drama may have been around for ages on BBC Radio 4 or 2 or whatever, but the world of independent podcasting is new. And the world of people walking around with a gadget with earphones on it is still relatively new. And so creating a hunger for people to actually stick quality audio drama in their ears and not just music is still in its infancy. I mean, it's, you know, it's up toddling now, I'd say. But when we started on the Minister of Chance, it really was in its infancy. And that's about 5-6 years ago. And now it's much more commonplace. When we made The Minister of Chance, there was no other audio drama on iTunes. There were lots of podcasts of shows that were, you know, chat shows or review shows or whatever. But, you know, 6 years ago, there was no other audio drama. We were under albums. I mean, you know, hilariously, in my middle age, you know, there was other albums by this artist. You know, because they just didn't have the framework for it. And they still don't really have the framework for it. It's under podcast, but they don't have an audio drama section, which, you know, it'd be great if they did, because I think people are beginning to get the appetite for it. And, you know, we spend so much time on our gadgets, we may as well be getting something with huge imagination into our ears as well, particularly the younger generation. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that's a good point about, you know, categories and things like iTunes, and we all find ourselves put into, like, performing arts categories, and they're a bit vague because there's so many different kinds of podcasts in there as well. We're seeing a real rise now in these sort of mockumentary-style shows, these fictional shows from the US, which is great because they're bringing in a lot of listeners. But because there's not that category, it's hard for the fan base of one to then find, you know, another show or an audio drama show. When you were setting up Strangeness in Space and doing the campaign, were you getting a lot of questions from people about, like, what is audio drama? Like, what's this all about? Is it like a radio play? Or
we got, I mean, in fact, I think it's number one in our frequently asked questions category on the website. Was I, you know, I knew that from working on Ministry of Transport. People go, what is it then? Is it on the radio? It's on BBC Radio? And you go, no, it's not on BBC Radio. You go, well, how? And you go, well, you just download it. But how? And you go, well, you know that computer, that smartphone, that iPad, that Kindle that you have, that's forgetting the old-fashioned MP3 players and iPods. You literally press that link and then press download and then it plays. And they go, oh, okay. And it's still quite hard to get people to actually go that little extra bit. Yeah, you'll still find that you'll be shouting out about your product and sharing your fantastic reviews and all of that, and you'll hand out cards at conventions and people will go, oh, yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah, I was going to listen to that. And you go, have you? And they go, yeah, I've not quite got around to it yet. And it's people that haven't still quite got the listening habit of doing it. You know, I didn't. I do now. I mean, I'm working my way through the back catalogue of Desert Island Discs, listening to all the interviews from God knows where. You know, and I've got used to thinking I'll go for a walk or I'll do some gardening or a bit of painting and I'll listen to that on my phone. But people aren't perhaps catching up with it.
Yeah, it comes back to that. You know, if you find an audio drama, if you find one and you like it, you want to listen to loads more, but there's still not that completely comprehensive way of discovering everything. You have to do a bit of digging, a bit of asking around. So I'm sure that'll change in the future, of course.
Yeah, well, shows like yours, I mean, the fact that you can make a show like yours and put it out on as a podcast and then get people to listen to you talking about other audio shows, I mean, that in itself is where the foundation bricks will lie to it becoming a much more commonplace thing.
Yeah, we've got about 3 listeners now, so we're building up.
Well, hello, listeners 1, 2, and 3.
Listener 3 couldn't make it today either. It's just the 2 of them.
Oh, okay, that's fine. It's good to be here. If just those 2 people go. But that's the point, isn't it? Is if those 2 people were to listen to my show and then tell a friend, and they told a friend, and they told a friend, that's how, you know, your word of mouth and your ripples filter out. And it's, you know, it's hopefully going to go the same way that Ministry of Chance went, which is that it creates this massive, I mean, we had a massive international fan base for the Ministry of Chance. I mean, literally all around the world. And if you've got, you know, that was all done by word of mouth from fans. And that's a really, really satisfying feeling to know that people are coming in because somebody else has told them it's really funny and they should listen.
One common theme, you know, between the shows that you've done is having these actors that bring this nostalgia factor. Do you find that's really beneficial to building a fan base when you're starting out, when you've got these sort of household names?
If you were to make a product that had people in it that nobody'd ever heard of, even if they were very good, it would be very hard to encourage people to listen to it. So if you actually do want to have a chance to get out to the starting blocks, it does help if you are saying to somebody, oh, I've got so-and-so, have a listen, because they're much more likely to think, oh, yeah, I might do. Having said that, I think the common theme on both the projects that I've produced and indeed cast has been never doing stunt casting. That, I think, doesn't work. I think you have to come at it from a point of view of who would be fantastic in this role. And if you keep that as the core motive in what you're doing, then it will work whether they're famous or not famous. You just, you know, you just need to get in enough of an interest for people to actually press play. And once they've pressed play, you need to make sure that everybody in it is playing a role that they should be playing, that they are bringing something to it. I mean, we've got, there's a young girl playing Maddie in Strangers in Space, who is not long out of drama school. And it's, you know, one of my other kind of main paid jobs is working for the John Thor Foundation. And we've supported various students through drama training in the past. We don't do it so much now, but she's one of the last ones that went through. And we've stayed in touch, and it was fantastic to be able to introduce her to them. And she has a lovely, warm Irish voice. And I said, you know, I think I'd, you know, meet her. And the next thing you know, they're saying, oh my goodness, she could play this part. That would be fantastic. And it gives, you know, it wasn't how they originally saw the character, but they thought, no, that would be a really good voice for it. And so it's been nice to give her the opportunity.
So what's next for you guys? I mean, you say you're nearly funded with the second episode. Have you recorded a handful of episodes now?
No, we've literally, the only thing we've got in the can now is episode 2, and we have got it pretty much, well, we've got the actors recorded. We've still got sound effects and music to put with it. Because they, you know, because Pink Custard, which is the pop synth duo from Thurrock that Trev and Simon play, because they are a pop synth duo, they have song, you know, they've properly written songs in the manner of an 80s pop synth duo. And those are, you know, those that takes a while to get those recorded and finished and properly mixed and be the kind of thing that you might want to play on your radio, you know.
So where can the listener find everything online, all the details about further future releases and the crowdfunding project and things like that?
If you go to strangersinspace.com, you will find everything you need to know. There's a page for download. It will link you either to doing a direct download through the website, or it will enable you to link straight through to iTunes. I mean, it literally is, you know, press www.strangersinspace.com, and you will choose from either finding out more or looking at the cast list or going to the episodes page, which will enable you to download.
Thanks once again to Claire Eden for the interview and to Trevor and Simon for being back in our lives once more, reminding us we had an awesome childhood. So, fantastic stuff. Good interview this week, Matthew.
Yeah, really enjoyable chat with Claire. And if you've not heard Strangeness in Space already, please do check it out. All links in the show notes over at audiodramaproduction.com. As for us, that's about it for this week. We hope to maybe get together next week for a topical chat. And if you want to have an influence on what that topical chat is about, then why not get in touch with us? Robert, do you know the email address by now?
I've been doing my best to learn it, and I believe it is podcast@audiodramaproduction.com.
That's right, podcast, because we are indeed a podcast, an online radio show that could be listened to on demand. The at sign, well, you know, it's just an at sign. And audiodramaproduction.com is, of course, the website. That's a basic understanding of how email works in the year of our Lord 2015.
Not much more I can add to that. You've wrapped it up succinctly. All I can say is get in touch by any means possible. You should know how by now. And we'll catch you next time.
Cool. Time for a song, then.
Defo, let's do it.
What? Here? Now?
Sophie, we're Pink Custard, Tilbury's number one synth pop duo.
Yeah. As David Eden wrote in his review of us in the Thurrock Gazette, now is always a good time for 1980s electronica.
David Eden.
Yeah, of course it is.
Slip on.
Moccasin.
Lace up.
Brogue.
Shoe storm, it's coming today. Shoe storm, and it's coming your way. You fancy a war, but take care if you go for. It isn't safe, you might get hit by a loafer. Shoe storm, it's coming today. Shoe storm, and it's coming your way. Shoe storm.
Welly boot.
Platform.
Flip-flop.
Clog.
It's a sandal scandal, something so fun.
Out soul heal.
Winkle picker,
creeper,
plimsoll.
Wait.
Shoe storm.
Stop!